Chapter 13. Milady's Secret. D'Artagnan became a regular visitor to Lady de Winter's home. The beautiful woman received him graciously, and each time the pretty maid, Kitty, blushed and smiled with every word he said to her. Lady de Winter's attention toward him slowly pulled D'Artagnan's mind away from his beloved Constance. He knew Milady was dangerous and worked for the cardinal, but he could not help himself. She sighed often, as if a deep problem pressed itself against her. "What makes you sigh, dear lady?" D'Artagnan asked.
"Nothing."
The beautiful lady looked away, blinking rapidly as if to chase away tears.
"It's just that my brother-in-law pressures me so."
D'Artagnan begged for details, but she waved them away.
"We should not talk of sad things," she said, smiling bravely. "Tell me an amusing story of you and your friends."
And so another visit passed. D'Artagnan was falling under her spell with the certainty of a trembling rabbit staring into the hypnotic eyes of the cobra. As he left the lady's chamber, the young maid led him aside.
"I need to talk to you, sir," she said hesitantly. "You are in love with my mistress."
"Yes," D'Artagnan admitted, "madly in love."
"That's a pity. She doesn't love you at all."
D'Artagnan frowned. "And you have proof?"
"I can give you proof," Kitty said. "Instead of visiting my mistress tomorrow, come to the back door near midnight. I will secret you in here. This room opens into my mistress's bedroom. From here, you will hear my lady say how she really feels."
D'Artagnan looked at the young maid's honest face and agreed. He fretted throughout the next day, barely able to concentrate on anything but the coming discovery. In his heart, he knew what he would learn, but clung to hope that the young maid was mistaken. Late into the night, he crept around Milady's house to find Kitty waiting in the shadows. She led him to the room again. There, she kissed his cheek, then hurried into Lady de Winter's room, when they both heard the woman call.
"I can't believe D'Artagnan did not call at all this evening," Lady de Winter fretted as Kitty helped her change for bed. "You miss him?" Kitty murmured. "You must love him very much."
The other woman laughed at that.
"Love him? I despise him. But he will be useful to me. Already the silly boy adores me. I will send him to England to kill both my tiresome brother-in-law and the cardinal's enemy."
"The cardinal's enemy?" Kitty echoed.
"The Duke of Buckingham," Lady de Winter said. "The cardinal is angry with me because D'Artagnan thwarted our last plan. How fitting it will be if the silly child kills the Duke himself."
"That sounds dangerous," Kitty whispered.
"Yes," the other woman laughed again. "And if D'Artagnan is killed during the assassination, all the better.
It will save my having to find another fool to kill him later."
At this, D'Artagnan could take no more. He burst into Lady de Winter's room and shouted,
"I am not such a fool as you think."
Milady shrieked with fury and grabbed a slender knife from her bedside. She rushed at D'Artagnan with the knife raised. They wrestled over the knife, and D'Artagnan pulled it from her grasp, knocking her to the floor.
When she fell, her gown dropped from her shoulder, and D'Artagnan stared in horror.
She wore the fleur-de-lis brand that Athos had described so clearly. D'Artagnan gasped,
"The brand!"
Lady de Winter clasped a hand over her shoulder and began shrieking for guards, servants, someone to save her from attack. At that, D'Artagnan turned and fled through the empty room and down the stairs to the outside. He ran with all his strength to the home of Athos, knowing he must tell his friend what he had seen. He burst into his friend's room to find Porthos and Aramis there as well.
"Ah, D'Artagnan is joining us," Porthos cried. "We thought we had lost you to romance."
Athos immediately saw how pale D'Artagnan was.
"What is wrong?"
"Treason," the young man gasped.
"Plots! The brand! We must do something!"
"Calm down," Aramis urged. "That made no sense at all."
But Athos had caught the word brand and led his young friend to a chair to sit.
"Tell us what you know," he urged, "as soon as you have caught your breath."